not one of the richer clubs. We need to be a hard-working club. We need to have a great culture. We need to be smarter than the other clubs if we're going to be successful.
Good things happen to businesses when Andrew Bassett gets involved. The St Kilda Football Club, the latest venture to benefit. One of Australia's most astute, wealthy and connected businessmen, the founder of job search company Seek is now president of the Saints. He's got very big plans, and some big Saints names are part of those plans. In the game this week is with Andrew Bassett, the new St Kilda Football Club president. Andrew, now 3 months into the role. How different has it been for you to come into the AFL world, given that you've been a very prominent and profiled person in the business world?
It's been a pleasure so far. So I've had 3 months in the role, and it's probably different to be president than being on the board, and I've really enjoyed it so far. There's a lot of differences to business. There's a lot of similarities, so I'm trying to work out which is which.
Are you beholden to what we refer to as the football industry in a way that business doesn't curtail your particular movements?
Beholden in terms of?
In terms of, I suppose, the inability to probably make change as quickly as you would maybe otherwise do in a business situation.
I think things take time on the football field and in business. So you try to get the settings right, you try to get the people right, you try to get the strategy right. You try to get the culture right, and that takes time. But when you do that, you get results. So we're optimistic we're on the right track on all those fronts.
Sure. The business world, obviously you are exposed to a lot of big egos in the business world. Have you been exposed to some of football's well-known egos at this stage?
I think in football and in business, in any walk of life, you get a range of people. Some have bigger egos than others, that's for sure. Yeah. So a bit of both.
Did you have an experience of sorts when you had your first experience of the president's gathering at the AFL season launch in recent weeks?
Yeah, it was a pretty non-controversial meeting, and it was a pretty it was a good experience for me. I didn't have too much to say. There wasn't too much that affected St Kilda directly, and so I was more listening than talking. But yeah, it was an interesting conversation. And the AFL is obviously a well-run business, a well-run organisation, and the president's had smart things to say, so it was a good meeting for me.
You'd probably know a lot of the people in a business sense. I probably
knew half or maybe even a bit more of the presidents from various walks of life. So I knew a lot of them, yes, so that made it a bit easier. Yeah.
And your brother, obviously, sitting on the AFL commission.
I also do know my brother, that's correct. So my brother's on the commission, obviously, so that's good.
How much detail does he give you and how much advice did he give you before you took on the main role?
Really none. So I think both of us know. Both of us had enough familiarity with these things that he knows he can't talk about commission stuff.
Yeah.
I know I can't talk about certain football stuff. So we're pretty good with that.
Yeah. Why, Andrew, did you decide to take on the main role at St Kilda?
Yeah, it's a good question. Quite a few of my friends asked me that. But I think the short answer is I love the club. I love football. I love the club. I need to be convinced that I could actually help and make a difference. But I think... I was convinced of that, and hopefully I can make a small difference. But also, we've got some really good people at the club now. The CEO is really good. So a lot of his team are really good, both on the football side and on the non-football side. We've got a bunch of really committed people who really want success, to deliver on success for the fans. And I think there was jobs to be done to help with that, and I'm very happy to have the chance to do it.
Yeah. You were born in 1966.
Crap year to be born as a Kilda supporter, of course, yes.
Well, a famous year. It's been a long time between drinks, though, hasn't it, for the club? Yeah. And now you find yourself in a situation where you can shape what you would no doubt hope to be the next.
Yeah, of course, it was a famous year. Bad year for me personally because I wasn't quite old enough to appreciate the flag. But I've got less years left to appreciate the next flag, and that makes sense. But look, exactly right. I think we've been unapologetic about the fact that as our club, the entire club, not just the football side, the predominant goal is quite simply to bring home our second flag. Mm. And that's what everyone's working towards. Playing a small role in that is very exciting. As a St Kilda supporter, that's what I'd love to see. And it's a great opportunity for me to perhaps play a small role in trying to achieve that goal.
You wouldn't be doing this, would you, unless you had that as your goal? The way that your business world has set itself up, you play to win, and as such, that's what you're doing at the Saints.
There's not much point otherwise. I think everyone in the club is doing it to try to win. So the idea of just doing it to be midfield or anything else isn't too exciting to any of us.
Yeah. Andrew, reading your backstory, as everyone has done from a footy perspective, once you became the president, At the age of 31, you established the business Seek, the number one job-seeking organisation, effectively in the world. Did you see it becoming as big as it clearly has when you set out with that great dream?
You never look that far in front, so I think we just wanted to survive, build a big business. We were certainly focused only on Australia originally and focused on trying to win the battles against, at the time, News Corp and Fairfax. So the original battle was our first focus, and we hoped that we could win that, but we weren't sure. And as you start feeling like you're winning that battle, if you're ambitious and aggressive, you just look for new battles to fight. So I think we've fought a lot and won more than we've lost, which is why the business is so much bigger than we expected.
Yeah. What is it about the battle that appeals to you? Is it just being better than the second best person? Is it trying to reach the world? What is it that does drive you personally?
Look, I think shame I didn't have more physical ability because I'm a competitive person, because then I could have achieved my ambition of being on the field rather than off the field involved with St Kilda. But look, I'm a competitive person, ambitious person. I think most of us at the club now are. And so if you're going to be spending time on something, you may as well spend time with a ambitious goal rather than an unambitious goal. And a lot of fun when you achieve those goals.
One of the relatively recent articles about you and your business had the market cap value at $8 billion. It's a staggering amount of money for anyone who knows anything about that system. You personally, BRW Rich Lister regularly, how important is it to you to have that clout when you come into St Kilda Footy Club?
Oh, look, by the way, I think the number's wrong. I've never heard $8 billion, but I'll take it that I think that's a bit high. But look, it's never really been a focus. The focus for us is on our audience of job seekers, our audience of organisations that we're helping, getting great outcomes from them, building the marketplace, beating our competitors, building the fundamentals of the business. And if you do that stuff well, then you have success. And so I don't think about the numbers as being relevant to the St Kilda experience. I do think, for the 20-something years I've been involved with Seek, I've seen both success and failure. We've got lots of subsidiary businesses. I've seen what's made the ones that are successful do better than those that are less successful. The hope is that some of those learnings will translate to football.
Okay. You've mentioned News Limited already in this short conversation. Google, Microsoft, there are other multinational companies that you have effectively taken on and to this point beaten. Does that keep you on your toes? You're dealing with the absolute big dogs?
Yeah, it's probably a big part of why I'm still going. I expected Seek to be 3 years of death or glory, not 21 years of hard work. But there keeps being a new challenge and a new opportunity for us to push forward, which is what's kept me going. And I think it's relevant to football, in fact, that I do like a challenge. I think all of us at the club now like a challenge. And with 18 clubs, a tough competition, it's a pretty challenging environment in the AFL.
Yeah. So when you do take on the Microsofts and the Googles and the News Limiteds of the world and win, and then you come into an organisation like St Kilda and they're down the bottom when you come in, I'd imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, but you'd like to just click your fingers and change things immediately. Is that fair to say?
Look, nothing happens quickly. I think we're trying to build a successful club one brick at a time, and I think we feel we've got a lot of those bricks in place. Getting back to Moorabbin was a big part of that. Yep. We've got some really good people in the club, including some new people that like the Rattans and the Lades and the Slaters that have come from really successful clubs that have bought something new. So we're trying to build it one brick at a time. We know that doesn't happen overnight. And none of the successes we've had in business have happened overnight either.
Sure. Andrew, I read some articles about you at the time of your appointment, and one referred to...
You probably read more articles about me than I have, Damien.
one did jump out. It was an article basically recapping your presentation or your appearance at what was called the Disruptive Innovation Summit, and you gave an insight into a couple of business learnings. There was a quote that you gave that day that at one stage you and your partners, and this is a quote, had got a bit fat, a bit happy, and a bit lazy. That can happen in your business, I'd imagine. Is that fair to say?
Look, it happens a lot in business. Once you have a bit of success, it's easy to sort of feel like you're pretty good, feel like you're bulletproof. And I think business and football is no different, that as soon as you stop striving to beat the guy in front of you and stop striving to get better, you not only don't go forward, you start going backwards. And I think that happened to us for a little while in business. We were lucky to correct it in time before it did too much damage.
Right.
And I think the learning I got from that, both for business but also for everything I hope that I can bring to the football club, is you can just never settle.
Right.
And so I hope we're a club that when we win our second flag, we have a bit of a celebration, but then we focus on how we get better to make sure we win our third. I think that's the mindset you need to have in any competitive environment.
Yeah, and another word in that particular presentation you gave was innovation and the need to innovate and also to disrupt or be disrupted. They're business learnings, aren't they? But I'd imagine you'd be applying every part of your business background to what you're doing at St Kilda?
Look, I don't want to overstate my role again. I mean, this, you know, I'm CEO of SEEK, but I'm not CEO of the football club. So people like Matt and Simon and a range of others are kind of more important in terms of that innovation and drive at St Kilda than I am. But the mindset of recognising that we're not one of the richer clubs. We need to be a hardworking club. We need to have a great culture. We need to be smarter than the other clubs if we're going to be successful. So we're working hard on all of those things.
Yeah. And Andrew, I know you won't want to be critical of the club that you're inheriting, for want of a better word right now. I also know you won't want to be too critical of the past regimes. But what sort of a club are you taking over right now?
Oh, look, I think, you know, there's no doubt that we've had some challenges going back. And there's no doubt it's a tough competition and some of those challenges have led to us not being where we want to be on the ladder. But look, I think certainly the past president, whose actions I'm closest to, he probably inherited a club that had all sorts of issues. He inherited a club that had some cultural issues. He inherited a club that was going to go backwards before it went forwards as a result of us getting close to winning flags, not quite getting there and having an ageing list. And he did a good job. So, you know, I'm very grateful to Peter. He's got us back to Moorabbin. He's brought in some great people, including the CEO, Matt Finnis, and a bunch of other great people. And he's got us in a position where we can now focus not solely but predominantly on winning games at football, which is what our supporters want. And that's my primary focus as president, is just driving that focus.
Sure. The use of the word culture there, how bad was it when you reflect upon what it was?
Oh, look, I think I've only been on the board for 2 years, so I think a lot of the hard work in terms of the culture had been done before I got there. So, you know, I think, as I said, Matt had had 3 years as CEO and he really cares about the culture, really cares about the people he works with. So he'd done a lot to improve that. A lot of really great achievements. It's hard to understate how big a deal it is for us to be back in Moorabbin or how hard work it was for us to get there. Yeah. So when the club gets criticised for perhaps not being as focused on football as it should have through that period, we can't be single-minded when you've got a big job like getting back to Moorabbin, which we had to do, that takes up so much time. So I think the culture was pretty good when I came in, which is part of the reason that convinced me, is I felt we were positioned for success. And so selfishly, I took on a challenge that I thought was achievable, not one that was unachievable.
Mm. In your relatively, short learnings now within football, within the AFL world, can clubs, and I'll ask the word about St Kilda, can a club like St Kilda almost get too comfortable being down the bottom?
Oh, look, none of us involved with the club today have any desire to be comfortable with being down the bottom. You know, so I think we're all in it for the same reason, which is success. We're all going to not be happy with anything short of that success. So I think, you know, there are people within any organisation or within any football club that might have that sort of attitude. They're not the people we're trying to bring into the club today.
Yeah, okay. If there was one aspect of what you have done at SEEK that you were able to bring into St Kilda, what would that be?
Oh, look, I think it's, you know, it's what I said before. I said there's various ingredients that I know are correlated with success. Mm. I've talked to some of them. It's around having a clear strategy and vision. I think we've done a good job of evolving that. It's around having the right people on board, the people who've got passion and belief and the right talent and commitment for success. It's around a culture that promotes that success and a range of things. So it's just, there's a bunch of ingredients. And I think my job, obviously through Matt and through the rest of the team, is to make sure that we're always checking whether those ingredients are strong enough to lead to the success that all our fans crave.
Again, in your limited time in football, are there some aspects of it that frustrate you, that you can't make the change you'd like to make you may otherwise?
You know, so much in football, perhaps a bit different into business, there's a bit more luck involved. There's a few things that are out of your control. So obviously, when you watch a game of football, I'm a bad watcher in any case. I'll be an even worse watcher as president in terms of it's completely out of your control on game day, what happens, the bounce of the ball, and what happens. Injuries are out of your control, and we've had some bad luck on that this year. But the stuff that is in our control around just making sure we're responding well to adversity, we've got resilience in the group, and we're building belief, we're building those things that will lead to success ultimately. That stuff's in our control, and that stuff takes time.
Mm. How hands-on will you think you will be with the playing group over the journey?
Oh, look, it's not really my job. There's a whole coaching staff that does their job very well, that are hands-on with the coach and with the playing staff. And I think I'm there if I can help. So there's been one or two examples of conversations that people thought would be helpful for me to build an individual player's belief or just make them feel included or something similar. But it's not really my job. And So I don't see myself being very hands-on.
Okay. Andrew, debt at the club right now is between $11 and $12 million. It's a lot, and that can be very, very draining on any business, kind of debt of that magnitude. Are you able to tell us your plans on that front?
Yeah, look, we really don't want to be in debt. So we'd far prefer not be beholden to anyone, including the AFL or bankers, and be in a situation where we weren't in debt. We need to recognise it will take us time to work off. And the fortunate thing, not the fortunate thing now, but the same thing that's going to get us out of debt is what our fans need in any case, is if we're more successful on the field, if we're showing the right trajectory on the field, it's going to be much easier for us to earn the money than enables us to pay off our debts. So the focus on football is also the focus that will solve the debt problem.
Okay. Have you got a debt plan that you're happy to at least partially share here?
I won't go into the specifics, but absolutely there's a view in terms of how quickly we want to be able to pay off that debt. Some of that depends on circumstance that, as I said, involve us moving forward on the ladder.
Okay. 5-10 year plan?
I don't know the AFL like 10 year plan, so it's probably shorter a bit quicker than that. We won't talk about specifics. Yeah.
And it's obviously a personal question, but I'll ask it. Do you intend putting your own hand into your own pocket with that particular part of the club's operations?
I won't go too far down that path, but at some point I think we've done it before in relation to Rabin. At some point, there'll be a stage where we go to prominent supporters again, or supporters that can afford it. Mm. And of course, I'd be part of that.
Yeah. You, I know, have been a go-to person for the club on that front for a number of years already. Do you and others sometimes feel, here we go again, at the club putting its hands out for more?
I think as a club, I think we've probably done a worse than average job of actually engaging our supporters that can afford to support us. And we've probably reached into people's pocket less than average as a football club. So I don't think we've overdone that at all. I think we can do a better job of engaging those supporters and then having them feel good about contributing to the club.
Yeah,
I don't think we've ever done that at all.
Okay. Jerry Ryan's another big St Kilda name in that off-field sense. You seem to be close with him.
I don't know Jerry well, but I do know one tremendous. I've met him quite a number of times and know him well enough. But he's been, you gave me too much credit. Jerry's been an absolutely unbelievable supporter for the St Kilda Football Club in a range of areas. So we're very lucky to have him involved with the club. And he's just a great guy. He doesn't ask for anything. But keeps coming forward with suggestions on how we can help the club. So Jerry's been terrific.
Sure. You said before, ideal world for you would have been to be a player for St Kilda, but your ability didn't allow. How far did your ability take you as a footballer?
It didn't take me very far at all. And I played a bit of amateurs football and I actually got distracted. I don't know why I got distracted. I ended up playing sort of 20 years of rugby rather than football.
Did you?
But I wasn't much good at that either, but I probably was a bit better at rugby than I was at football.
What position in rugby?
I played a lot of scrum half, actually. Yeah. I was going to say I was a little guy. I still am a little guy. So I played scrum half, and I played a bit out of the wing when I got too old to get hit so much.
Who was that for?
I played at school and then I played for Melbourne Uni and then I played for Melbourne Uni as an old boy as well.
Okay. And AFL or Australian football, what did that
I played, take I played a bit for Ajax and I played a little bit at school. So I played probably for maybe 4 or 5 years of Ajax, but I wasn't much good. So
yep.
I wasn't threatening to be in the St Kilda's got the same colours. I wasn't threatening to change clubs in the same colours.
Fair enough. Andrew, your friends are obviously very close and you've got a poker group that you socialise with and play with some St Kilda luminaries, Shane Warner amongst them. He's a close friend.
I'm not sure how that got out there, but I do play a bit of poker with Shane.
Yeah. Is he someone that you would like to attract to the St Kilda board at some stage?
Yeah, look, we're actually fortunate. There's a range of people that are sort of starting to engage with the club, Shane being one of them, who are passionate about the club, who want to help. So Shane's already been helpful to us when we ask.
Yeah.
And so getting him more involved would be great.
On the board?
Oh, look, possibly. It's not something that's been discussed in detail.
Hmm.
But I think Shane's both a very smart person, very capable. Obviously, his sporting brain is quite incredible. So if we can get him more engaged in one capacity or another, we'll certainly consider that for sure.
Yeah. And Nick Riebold's another towering St Kilda identity who... I'm assuming, Andrew, and having been told to ask the question by someone who claims to know, that you may be interested in him being on the board as well?
Look, absolutely. I think we've been open about the fact, both with Nick and with Shane, that they're both great St Kilda people and just tremendously strong people, successful people, professional drive and commitment and the resolve that we sort of talk about needing the club to continue to push forward in. These guys have in spades. So, you know, if someone like Nick gets more involved in the club, we'd all welcome that.
Yeah. And Andrew, your success, one of the amazing Australian business stories, it's come with hearing difficulties, hasn't it? You are. What is the official diagnosis around this?
Can you repeat that question, Damien? Right. Look, it's I got I don't talk about it, like probably when I was, I can't remember what age, probably 4 or 5, I got measles, and so I lost most of my hearing then. But it's okay. If people want to say something enough, they repeat it and they get it eventually.
Yeah. And how tough was that for you to live life with that, having had it?
I've never really thought about it, to be honest. So, you know, whether I started semi-resilient or whether that helps you develop resilience is sort of something you just got to, not much you can do about it. Mm. You play the cards you're dealt, to use a poker term. And so I've always just tried to just move on regardless.
Yeah. And do you teach yourself to lip read, so to speak?
Or? I can't really lip read, so I need the sound, but everything helps. I'm sort of figuring it out. So hearing the sound and seeing lips is better for me than just hearing the sound.
Yeah. Incredible resolve, I'd imagine, to work through that and through the business world with that.
Oh, didn't really. As I said, if somebody wants to say something, I'll repeat it if I don't hear it the first time. So you just figure it out.
Yeah. Andrew, I know you've made comment on the situation with a few people at the club already. The coach obviously is contracted for this year, performance requirements into next year. Where is that at? Are you able to tell people listening to this now?
Look, I think on the coaching, look, first of all, we talk about the coaching panel rather than the coach, and we're really pleased with where the coaching panel is at with the addition of people like Ratton and Slade bringing some really relevant experience to us. We've been very clear about the fact that Alan's our coach for the year, that we're backing him to lead the response. We're really happy with how the whole coaching group's going, the motivation of the players. We had Ben King and Max Long's Max King and Ben Long, their names are a bit similar. And I had a late night last night.
And a brother with that.
So in the last couple of days, there's a really good feeling about the playing group. There's a real belief in the system. There's a real belief in what the coaches are teaching them. So our focus is on winning games of football now, nothing else.
Okay. And you touched on a few moments ago with the uncontrollable situations which have happened to a couple of players in Dylan Robertson and at this stage, as we speak, the unknown around Paddy McCartan. What do you do as leader or spiritual or figurehead leader of the organisation when things like that happen?
Again, I'm not the CEO, so Matt and Simon and the coach have led the response to that rather than me. But I think what I'm very pleased to have seen is, first, it's a really terrible situation for Dylan. So he had last year out, and that was tough for him. Having this year out, I can't imagine how much he's going through in terms of that situation. Paddy also, a lot of concussions and dealing with some tough issues. For the rest of the playing group, though, you know, what you want is resilience. You want passion. You want people who take adversity as an excuse to kind of work harder, strive more and all the rest of it. And what we've seen really from the whole group is a really pleasing desire to not let this adversity give us any excuses not to be as good on the field as we want to be this year. Okay. And so from that adversity can come some strength.
And Andrew, when you – and we have touched on this word a few moments ago, culture. Can I get a definition of culture from your perspective?
Culture is everything. Culture is sort of the people, the values, the beliefs that you push forward. And so it's hard to talk about in a few words, but you know it when you see it. And, you know, kind of a winning culture. A culture is a place where people feel valued. They understand what the direction. There's a shared purpose as part of that. There's a real passion and a shared passion to achieve those goals. There's an ambition in individuals, but a more strong ambition to work as a team and collaboratively and care for your teammates and work for your teammates rather than working for yourself. And a range of other factors. They're the things that go to success rather than failure. And that's what we're starting to see build at St Kilda.
And what is it that you personally can do with that word, how it filters down from your position on the board down to the last kid drafted?
Yeah, it's really making sure you've got the right people at every level. You've got coherence at every level. I think probably one of the things that we've been able to work on the last few years is that coherence, that everyone's working to the same goal, whether it's somebody, you know, playing centre half forward or whether it's somebody the boot starter or somebody on the admin side or in the finance side. We're all working to the same goal. That's part of it. And then really, you know, perhaps the advantage I have is being a bit objective, a bit out of it, whereas Matt's very much full-time, the rest of the team, is perhaps being able to see ask questions, challenge, to check that we're in the right direction. But most of the answers I get back are very good.
Yeah. Another individual, Daniel Hannabury. Are you comfortable with the decision made to pay him the significant money that he's on and for the duration?
Yeah, look, the decision was one, you know, like with every decision of that size, it was one that was well debated and discussed. And I think the things that we see Daniel bringing, we're still optimistic he will bring. And we really need it as a club. We're a very young list. We're a very inexperienced list. We've got one premiership player in Brown who's a bit older. The idea of doubling the number of premiership players we have, and particularly Dan's personality, is a very loud voice, very proactive voice, very strong leader on the field and off the field. That was definitely a need for the club. So Dan was soon to tick those boxes. He's had a setback, obviously, but we're optimistic that he can bring what we hoped he'd bring, and this would be a good decision.
Okay. And the player profile that you may like to see now that you're in the main chair, I know you won't have a personal say in the list composition, but what sort of player would you like down the track to be a St Kilda footballer?
Oh, yeah, you're taking me outside my comfort zone, because Okay. Really I don't see myself as having great football expertise, I think. So I've got to be careful of confusing the things that I can bring to the club and where I do have expertise with the fact that I'm just a fan like everyone else on some issues. But, you know, I think we want to continue to bring, you know, there's some gaps in the list that people have, I think, have been quite open about. We probably need one or two midfielders, and there's some other gaps in the list. But I think it's just continuing to bring committed resolve, you know, strong commitments, resolve, strength, resilience to the club as we push towards a flag, thinking that's what we need our group to have. And the more that we have that from the outside as well, the better off we'll be.
The perception of St Kilda, Andrew, for some time has been that it is down the bottom and is going to be there for some time. Do you share that? Or sorry, maybe I'll rephrase that. Can you see what people view it?
Yeah, we completely understand that. Our history, one flag in 120-odd years, doesn't, you know, cattle answer those sorts of perceptions. I think in some ways it's a bit harsh. We had 10 years where we were the most successful club with everything short of winning a flag. So I think we've shown that we can be competitive in this competition. And the hard work that we're doing, the work we're doing on the culture, the work we're doing to get the players as fit as they can be, as strong as they can be, I'm optimistic that we'll turn around before too long and we'll start being the right end of the ladder.
Okay. And just a general, bigger picture question. AFL-wise, is there something that you would like to see introduced to it, however way, shape or form, just on the back of your own business acumen?
In the AFL, generally?
Yeah.
Look, I'm too soon to it. So actually, you know, part of the reason I'll probably wait a few more months, part of the reason I was relatively silent at the AFL Commission meeting, silence is, you're probably figuring out, is not my strong suit. So I'll probably go a little bit longer before I start to use my voice and start to think about what changes might make sense.
So the game is in good shape?
The game's in good shape. I mean, there's no doubt. Look, you can always improve. I'm a glasses half empty guy, but you can always improve things. But there's no doubt the AFL is the best run competition in Australia. It's one of the best run sports competitions in the world. You look at the numbers on any metric, it's a great competition. It's a great sport.
Sure. Andrew Bassett, appreciate your time today on In The Game.
Thank you. Great pleasure. Thank you.